think it's kedai to talk about something that's a little yisodi as it relates to understanding divrei agada. I mean, these are from the most agadita digger gemaras and shas. And I think really kan hamokim laharech ksas in terms of understanding and pondering one specific question related to Agadata, and that is, so you learn Gemaras like we just learned right now. We went through 9 of the stories of Rabbi Bar Bachana. We're not even halfway there. Did these stories happen, or did they not happen? And again, you go through the Vilna Gaon, you go through the Dalil Safraim, you go through Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, the different Tzaddikim. So, of course, they all explain these stories with incredible pnimius. And for sure, this pnimius, that's not the question. The question is the chitzonius, did these stories happen or did they not happen? Meaning, were these real stories? If Rabbi Bar Bachana said that I saw a fish that was this big, okay, that means Rabbi Bar Bachana saw a fish that was that big. Now, the reason he's telling you the story is probably because there's a nimshal that he wants you to take out of it. But he's not making up a story, and when he says l'di chazili, he means l'di chazili. Now, sometimes the Gemara will say, em shalacham mashal ma'ad avadayim. Rabbi Bar Bachana didn't say that. So he's not making, it's not story time with Rabbi Bar Bachana. If this is what he's saying happened, then we're supposed to assume that this is what happened. Or maybe, when it comes to Divrei Agada, there's a Messiah that Divrei Agada, Lav Dafka, needs to be taken literally, and even though it's being presented as if these stories really happened, Abba Chacham understands that no, of course, this didn't really happen, and this is a mashal, even though it doesn't say, Em Shalcha Mashal Amat Avadayim, and the avoyde is to teach the words, because you have to teach even the mashal. But at the same time, it's kulay pnimius, and there really is no chitzonius as it relates to understanding the story. And again, it's not just Negei these Gemaras, Negei is so many Divrei Agada. Divrei Agada, when you read the Gemara, the Pashup Shat. Are we supposed to assume that it happened? Or are we not necessarily supposed to assume that it happened? If you take a look at the Marsha, right here, the first Marsha in Perek HaMoichas HaSvino in his Chedushei Agadas, he starts off as follows. He says, Avki be'emes ein lahakrish pshotei hadvarim. Even though, of course, you can't deny the Pashup Shat of what Rabbi Bar Barchan is telling. Meaning, if he's saying that this happened, of course it happened. But says the Marsha, afilu hachi, this pnimius, and he goes on pages to explain what's going on. And this line of Abki be'emes ein lahakrish pshatei hadvarim, he says right in the beginning of the parak, and he repeats it a few times. Now, the truth is, yesh lachgar in the Marsha, being that the Marsha only said it in select pieces, did he only mean it in those select pieces? Or kol davar shahaya bechlal, v'yotza min achlal l'lamed, loy l'lamed al atzma yotza, el l'lamed al achlal kulo yotza. And the Marsha is saying, and he's saying again, what you're supposed to really apply to this entire sugya, and really what you're supposed to imply to all the Ve'agadas. I think the Pashtos and the Marsha is, like he says in the beginning, Afki be'emes ein lahakchis pshatei advarim, that the pshutei shal mikra of what Rabbi Bar Bachana said actually took place. If you look at the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai, here, right in the beginning of Perek HaMoichas HaSvino, also it's the opening line, he says like this, Hine noida, kol ma'morim elu, loy dibru bahem dvarim kipshutam. There's no way all these stories happen. Elahem dibre moshel. All they are is dibre moshel. This is not real. What, you think Rabbi Bar Bachana saw a ship that it took 3 days and 3 nights to travel from one fin to the other fin, a maisa, where there was a bird that was ankle high in water, that it took more than 7 years for the axe to land to the bottom, and these stories never took place. All it is a mashal. So I think b'muscharishin, if you're learning Perek HaMoichas HaSvino like we are, and you open up the classics forum that were written on Divrei Agada, like we did, what you seemingly see is that it's a machlokes achronim. The Marsha seems to say, "Ein lahakrish pshatei hadvarim," and the Ben Ishchai says that it's pashit loy dibru behem dvarim kipshutam Elohim divrei mashal. But the truth is that really this shayla of whether you're meant to learn these gemaras and all such gemaras kipshutai, or whether it's merely wholly and exclusively a mashal, it's really an old question. And it goes back to a fascinating polemic that took place almost 1,000 years ago. And it began when Meirenu HaGadol Rav Moshe ben Rav Maimon. The Rambam wrote his Yad Chazaka. So when the Rambam wrote his Yad Chazaka, it made a tumult. Everyone knows when the Rambam wrote the Merit of Uchim, it made a tumult. But when the Rambam wrote the Yad Chazaka, it also made a tumult. And the Rosh of the Misnagdim, for lack of a better word, the Yad Chazaka, was the author of the Sefer Yad Rama, Rabbeinu Meir Abulafia. So he was one of the Gedolei Rishonim. He was a contemporary of the Rambam. And when he got his hands on the Yad Chazaka, the way he writes, he was nispol on this Ur Godol that was in the generation. But at the same time, there were certain things that the Rambam had written that made him uncomfortable. The thing that made Rabbeinu Meir Abulafia the most uncomfortable is a well-known Rambam, Bavus the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. It's in Perek Ches Halacha Beis. The Rambam over there is talking about Olam Haba, and the Rambam says, "Quote: Olam Haba ain boy guf the gvia. In Olam Haba, a person doesn't have a body. Elin nefashos hatzadikim bovad. All there are neshamas. Beloy guf kimalachi asharis. Hoyve ain boy gviois." And says the Rambam, being that a person doesn't have a guf in Olam Haba, ain boy loy achila veloy shtia. Veloy davar mikol advarim shegufois bnei adam tzrichem lehem ba olam hazeh. Veloy yera boy davar min advarim shemarin legufois ba olam hazeh. Kigoy yeshiva veamida veshina umisa veetzev uschayku bayoytzevem. All the things that we're familiar. Every human emotion, every action, every desire that we have in this world doesn't exist in the next world, says the Rambam. He continues, and he says, "Kach amru chachamim arishoinim. Ha'olam haba im ba le'achila v'lo yishtia v'lo yitashmish. Elo tzadikim yoshvim v'atoreseyim b'rashneyim v'nenim izi v'ashchin." And the Rambam goes on and on and on. And when the Yad Rama saw this Rambam, he was very taken aback. He understood that what the Rambam is saying is that there's no real tchias ha'mesim. Now, of course, there's an existence that goes beyond our transient existence in this world. But Tchias HaMesim in the generic sense, Tchias HaMesim, here's the punchline, in the literal sense, it sounds like from the Rambam there is not. Because the Rambam says Mefurish, that Olam Haba ain boy guf u'gvia. There is no body. And there's no achil, there's no shtia. The Rambam seems to be describing Olam Haba, which the Yad Rama understood means the world of Tchias HaMesim. And the Rambam saying there's no guf. And this bothered the Yad Rama tremendously. He says, "I don't understand. How could the Rambam in his Yad Chazaka write that this is not the way it is?" And he says that even though what the Rambam did with his chibur is haflava fell in the welt, but at the same time, this Rambam bothers him terribly, and he was very, 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 very disturbed by it. He was so disturbed that he wrote a letter to the Chachmei Luneil, and he asked the Chachmei Luneil what they make of this Rambam. There were other ha'aris he had in the Rambam, but Be'ikr was the Rambam's position as it relates to Olam Haba, which in the Rama's understanding meant the world of Tchias HaMesim, and it seems that the Rambam's sheet is that Tchias HaMesim doesn't involve a guf, and to him that's untenable, and it bothered him very, very much. And the Rama received a response. The response that he received was from one of the Chachmei Luneil, one of the Chachmei Provencia, whose name was Reb Aaron ben Reb Meshulam. And he writes to the Yad Rama a letter, and he tells him that, you know, for starters, I think you might be overreacting a little bit, because I don't know if the Rambam ever said that there's no Tchias HaMesim. The Rambam said, "Olam Haba ein bo lo guf." Does that mean that Tchias HaMesim doesn't have a guf? Maybe Olam Haba l'chud and Tchias HaMesim l'chud, right? No one says they're the same thing. There's the end of days. There's Achris HaYomim. There's Olam Haba. Right? These are all synonyms of each other on some level, but they don't all mean the same thing. So said Reb Aaron ben Reb Meshulam, you might be picking on the Rambam in terms of semantics. I don't know if the Rambam disagrees with you. It could be the Rambam holds there is a regular Tchias HaMesim, and that's not what the Rambam is describing in that halacha. In that halacha, what the Rambam is talking about is Olam Haba, which is a different existence, and that existence is the Olam HaNeshama. For example, when somebody dies, Rachmana Litzlan, now. So where does that person go? It's not Tchias HaMesim. He goes to the Olam HaNeshama. Maybe that's what the Rambam was talking about. And what emerged was a very interesting, nuanced conversation in terms of understanding Tchias HaMesim, Olam Haba, did the Rambam mean this, did the Rambam mean that. But one of the subplots, and that's Nogei L'Inyonenu, right, the ikar of This back and forth is nogeya when you learn Perek Chelek, when you learn the sugyas of Tchias HaMesim. But what emerged as a subplot of this story, a very important subplot, was that what was bothering the Ramach so badly with the Rambam was that it seemed that the Rambam was being moitzi the concept of Tchias HaMesim and many chazals that describe Tchias HaMesim midei pshuta. And the Rambam doesn't seem to be taking these gemaras and these chazals literally, because the Rambam says there's no regular Tchias HaMesim. All it is an Oilam HaNeshamas. What do you mean? Chazal says it's Tchias HaMesim. And that's something that was bothering him very, very much. So it wasn't just the Rambam's position of Tchias HaMesim that was bothering the Yad Ramah, but it was also the fact that the Rambam can machzach nish visendig from so many Gemaras, which seem to suggest mefurish psukim in the Torah, right? The Hakitzu Yishene Yofar. It seems to suggest that no, there's going to be a regular Tchias HaMesim. And how could the Rambam be moitzi all these ideas midei pshutam? So Rabban Avraham Meshulam writes back to the Yad Ramah, and he tells him as follows. He says, you're championing with the Rambam that the Rambam took certain Gemaras and says, don't take them literally. Listen to this line. He says, Ve'eich yala alev ish shenosan Hashem chachma b'liboy. How could there be a havam in the heart of a man who God placed wisdom inside? Oh, you have a havamin, you meant to take this literally. You know it's not meant to be taken literally. When you're dealing with Divrei Agada, you can't take things so literally. So how can you get so excited that the Rambam said something and it doesn't stim with the Pshutei Shel Mikra of a Chazal, even a Pasuk? He says, these are not things we understand. They're not meant to be taken literally. They're meant to be understood homiletically and allegorically, not literally. And as a result, he says, I don't understand this grace of kanois that you have on the Rambam. Forget about shittas now, tchias, but that's not our sugya. But he says, dos keita chazoy in leb, and he says, the echiyala alev ish, shenosan Hashem chochma b'liboy, lokachas dibri agada kipshaton, v'apsukim kitzurasan. So the Yad Ramah gets this letter back from Rabban Avraham Meshulam. He writes back, there's a back and forth. And then the Ramah said that I want to send the Shaila to France. I'm going to send it to the Godol Hadar in France at the time. He was the Rosh of the Bali Tosfos, maybe the most underrated of all the Bali Tosfos, a conversation for another day. And that's the Rashmi Shantz. And he sends this Shaila to the Rashmi Shantz. By the way, the Rashmi Shantz is the author, unbeknownst to many, of most of the Tosfos that we have. Most of the Tosfos that we have were written by the Rashmi Shantz. But either way, so he sends this Shaila to the Rashmi Shantz, and he says, Ilamdenu Rabbeinu, I'm having this vikuach with Rabbi Aaron Bira Meshulam about the Rambam, and I want to hear what your take is. And we have the response, we have the letter that the Rashmi Shantz wrote back to the Yad Ramah. In fact, we have two responses that the Rashmi Shantz wrote. I'll tell you, this was something that was such an inyan back in the day, that the Yad Ramah actually wrote a chibur where he printed his correspondence together with Rabban Avraham Meshulam and together with the Rashmi Shantz. We actually have this correspondence. It survived. It was written in Arabic. Ready for the name? The name was Kitab al-Rasail. That is the name of the chibur. Today it's more popularly known as the Igris HaRamah, and it's printed in the back of Yad Ramah Masechta Sanhedrin. If you have the fancy edition, it's available at your local Sfarim store at the very, very back. So they have these Igris, and then it says, like in Lashon HaKodesh, there's something that's supposed to mean Kitab al-Rasail. But the bottom line is that's this chibur that was written originally in Arabic, where the Ramah wrote everything that happened. So the Rashmi Shantz, here's the Shaila. Side the Shaila with regards to Tchias HaMesim Oilam Haba, but more as it relates to us, the Shaila of Divrei Agada. You have to take everything literal? Well, fakir, it's not meant to be taken literal. And the Rashmi Shantz sides with who? Sides with the Ramah. And Lashonis, the way he describes the Rambam, is fascinating. It's kedai to go through it. But at the end of the day, he sides with the Ramah. And he says as follows, listen to this line. He says, says, how's it possible? How could anyone ever have? He was referring to what Rabbeinu Aaron ben Rav Meshulam said. He starts off the letter. He said, Rav Aaron ben Meshulam said, Ve'ichyala alei vich shenosan Hashem chochma b'liboy lokachas divrei agada kipshoto v'apsukim kitzurosam zokter ve'ichyala alei vich loymar shaloi nikach divrei agada kipshoto. And he goes through different Gemaras. And by the way, he quotes Bava Basra'i in Gimel, Bava Basra'i in Dalet, and Bava Basra'i in Hey. All three of the Gemaras we're going to learn right now. He says, everything is literal. Who has the chutzpah to read a Gemara and say, it didn't really happen? What do you mean? How could you do that? You have no right to do that. If Chazal said it's a mashal, good, it's a mashal. If Chazal didn't say a mashal, had he ever a right to say it's a mashal? And then he said, I'll bring you a raya. You know what my raya is? Because there's a Mishnah in Mesechtes Tamid, where it says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, B'shloisha mekoymois dibru chachamah b'lashon havoy. There are three places that Chazal spoke b'lashon havoy. Three places they spoke b'lashon havoy, and then he goes and he lists what the three places are. Freit Rashbam, if you're telling me that all divrei agada is lashon havoy, it's not three places where it's lashon havoy, it's a lot more than three places. What do you mean? A percentage of Shas. We just had 9 stories in today's daf that were all b'lashon havoy. Zok the Rashmi Shans. It's a raya. 3 and not more than 3. That's it. There's only 3 times. Those 3 times was b'lashon havoy. But beyond that, it really wasn't b'lashon havoy. So I'll tell you something fascinating. And that is, the Rambam had a son who's known, of course, as Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam. Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam wrote a Maimer al Hadroshos v'alo Agadas. It was written originally in Arabic. It was translated several times over the millennia into Lashon HaKodesh. It was very recently put out again in a beautiful, beautiful Madura by Yedidi, Rav Moshe Maimon. Rav Moshe wrote a mavoi to this Maimer where he talks a little bit about the Sefer Kitab al-Rasail and the controversy between the Rama and the Chachmei Lunil and the Rashmi Shans. But regardless, he went through the Maimer and he wrote footnotes. It just came out now for the second time in Tovshin Pei Dalet. It's a bestseller. If you have any affinity towards Agada, it's a sefer you absolutely have to have. It's a masterpiece. Rav Moshe is going to kill me, but he taught himself Arabic to be able to work on the original manuscripts of Rabbein Avram ben Arambam. He didn't just do this, but Moshe also put out Rabbein Avram ben Arambam's Bereishis and Shmois. This is, if you know, you know. Very, very special. But regardless, so Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam wrote a Maimer al Hadroshos v'alo Agadas. And in the beginning of the Maimer, he talks about how his father, the Rambam, really wanted to do something like this. Lamaisi ended up not doing it. He talked a little bit about Agadata in the Maimer. And really, he lays out his understanding of how you're supposed to understand and learn Divrei Agada, which, as Moshe really goes through very much, and the Mavoi seems to be rooted in what the Shitas HaRambam is. And it's very much in line with the way the Rama understood the Rambam Shita, which is that all these different Gemaras are not necessarily meant to be taken Kipshuta. In fact, Uksil Yavin Azois, the Uksil thinks that it's meant to be taken Kipshutai. Abav Eichi Ala Alev Ish, any person that's a Chacham, Beliba, he understands that the Divrei Agada are not meant to be taken Kipshutai. So again, how then are you supposed to understand Agadata? And if when we say Agadata is not meant to be taken Kipshutai, does that mean all Agadata? Or maybe only like the ones that don't make us so comfortable, right? So how do you pick and choose? How do you decide? So Ben Avram Ben Arambam goes through all different Agadata, and he takes all Divrei Agada and he divides it into 5 categories. That already is extra credit. We're not going to talk about this. Ayin Shom. So he goes and he makes 5 different categories. But I just want to mention one thing. Toich Dvarov says Rabbeinu Avram Ben Arambam that you're going to ask me a kasha, that how could I say that Divrei Agada does not necessarily have to be taken literally, but didn't Chazal say Tomit Chav Tes Amar Aleph that B'Shloisha Mekoymois Divrei Dibru Chachamin B'Loshin Havoy? It's 3 and it's Mashma, not more than 3. And whose Kasha was this? This is Toisvus's Kasha. It's the Rashmi Shans's Kasha. It's a bomb Kasha. It's Mashma only 3. Says Rabbeinu Avram Ben Arambam, the Kasha's a Tois. He says, why is the Kasha a Tois? Because the 3 that Chazal are referring to is 3 in the Mishnah. But as it relates, or 3 by the Tanoim, but as it relates to Gemara's, V'shloisha mekoy meiseloheim b'mishnah. Yeah, Mishnah. Ki betalmud yimotzei havoy le'ein mispar. That's his lashon. Yimotzei havoy le'ein mispar. It's poshit. There's so many different examples of where you're going to find this. He brings Kam Rabbi Shachtel Rab Zeira. He brings Rabbi Shmuel ben Alishin said, Pamachas nechnasti lefnai v'leftim lahaktuk t'tayres. And according to some versions of Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam, the different Nuschais, he brings in the beginning of Perek HaMoichas HaSvino. So this was very much the Shitas HaRambam, and this was Kedarkoi, his son, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, and his Maimer al Adrashas v'al Agadas. But the bottom line is this little nuance that we found tucked away right here in the beginning of Amoichas Asfina seems like it's a machloikis, the Marsha and the Ben Ishchai. This is an old machloikis. This machloikis traces itself way, way back. How far back does it trace itself back? To this fascinating tumul and vikuach that came about when the Rambam wrote his Mishnah Torah. It was a tumul that created letters and tshuvas between the Ramah and between the Chachmi Lunil, the Chachmi Provencia, the Rashmi Shans. These were Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agoilo, printed originally in Arabic in a work called Kitab al-Rasail. But the bottom line is, this very, very basic shayla in terms of how you're supposed to understand Divrei Agada is something that goes back a very long time. But one thing is klar, and that is, without a question, without a doubt, when you learn Divrei Agada, there's a panemius. There's no shayla. No one's debating that. Of course there's a panemius, and of course there's a hidden meaning. According to the school of the Rambam, which is the school of Rabbi Aaron ben Meshulam, which is the school of Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, and it's Maimar al Joshua's Val HaGadus, that's all you're supposed to take out. There's some lesson, there's some philosophy, you know, the Beis Medrash of the Goyin and the Arizal and the Leshem, it's Teres HaSoid, it's Teres HaNister. There's some pnimius that, of course, without a doubt, without a question, you're supposed to take out of it. There's no shaila. The question is, there's there a chitzonius? Did the story happen? And for us, we can leave it almost as an academic question. The pnimius, the lesson, is all going to be the same. Oh, but the shaila is, did the maisa happen or did the maisa not happen? And this seems to be an age-old question. But just to end with one chsam soifer, and that is, the pasuk says regarding the man. The man was kizera gad lavan v'tamay kitzapiches bedvash. And the Gemara says in Yuma Ayin Hey, and it's also Mechilta, that what does it mean that the man was kizera gad? It was ka'agoda. It was like agadata ha'moysheches esaleh. So chsam soifer in Torah, Samoishim, Parashas, Peshach, he spoke to that once. It says a dover nifla. He says, what's this mashal that we can peer agadata Gemara to the man? So he says, you ask a little child, what do you know about the man? What's he going to tell you? He's going to tell you the man, it tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. It was the most taiva de gazach in the world. You're in the mood of a steak, it's a steak. You want a medium rare, perfect. You want it to taste like something else, it tasted like that. Right, that was the Rogachev of Shiloh. What if you had a mind it should taste like basa v'chalav and you ate it? Were you over the isa basa v'chalav? Because it could be anything. Whatever you wanted it to be, that's what it tasted like. But you ask someone that's mavugar, what did the man taste like? He says, the man. What was the man? It was like, it's lechem abirim. Right? It's food that went into the bainer of the person. This is the most ahoyben. It's the most ruchniest thing of Michael was nishda in the world. Das heißt, the man, the chitzonius of the man, was mamish billig. It was like a type of the gazach. Whatever you, it's the most, it's geschmack. Wow, I'm in the mood of this. It tastes like this. Then you have a machshava azoy. It tastes like that. You have a machshava's pigle. It tastes like this. But whatever you wanted to think of, taste like, all you gotta do is think, and boom, you have exact other impnemius, the mo is not shaykh, says the Chassam Sofer, that's mamish Divrei Agada. You learn Divrei Agada, you learn the stories about Rabbi Bar Bachana, it's as fun as it gets from a Daf Yomi perspective, right? These are great stories. The chitzonius is almost billig, it's like these like cute stories, oh, but the pnimius, the soid of every Dvar Agada is nishayach in the world. It's kodesh kadoshim, it's toichei rotzev kedusha and soidei asoidus. Sedech sam soifer, that's the marshal. That the man was kizera gad. It's kedivrei agada shemoishchen. It was mamish agadata. There's the chitzonius and there's the pnimius. And that's something that we have to remember. Whenever you learn agadata, the chitzonius, it happened, it didn't happen. Fascinating question. This is a question that goes back 1,000 years with different messiahs. But at the same time, the pnimius, of course, there is. That's the muscle of Kizera God. Either way, we're just getting started here in this little series of Dafin in the beginning of Perek HaMoichas HaSfina. We're going to stop now.